in all the houses. Those vicious hosers, stop that. Stop, right now.
So it contributed to the homeless emergency, yes.
Right. Yeah. So I have to say that the city is all wet on the issue of sleeping bans and camping bans. There's no question about it. So there again, we have these children and adults are what you need for putting forward the necessity defense.
First three seem to be most important.
Okay, the necessity defense is there has to be done to prevent a significant evil. It has to have been no adequate alternatives. It has to be, third element is...
without creating...
You can't create a greater hazard by what you're doing.
Like environmental situation.
Like environmental one. You have to have a reasonable belief that what you're doing, subjective element, and then objective element.
And
that belief has to be actually a reasonable belief. And finally, you cannot have created the circumstances that produce the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the six elements of the necessity defense. Again, if you hopefully Chris will be able, you'll be able to get copies of this to the Santa Cruz Service Corps for people who want to come in and look at it, maybe to the Homeless Services Center too,
mm-hmm.
so Mandy can have a copy and she can give them out. And again, it is a tedious process. You do have to prove each of these elements, although I think Ray Glock-Grunike, the legal worker, has said he doesn't think you have to prove all of them. You just have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that they're generally the case.
Yeah, they kind of blend together. I think he's changed his mind a little bit.
Something blend together.
He bashed his head in a few times on that.
And Chris Fredrickson here, the local attorney, one of the only attorneys in town I know of, like the only attorney except Paul Sanford, who only did it for this one set of cases last fall, who will take camping cases or at least advise you on them. I don't want to suggest that she is your open-ended resource because she has to make a living and she's struggling to be a clean and sober attorney and come on radio shows like this and help out. Hey. So give us your number again, Chris.
465-9393.
You'll get a strange machine that says, what, community doodah hoodah?
California Community Colleges.
So that don't be dismayed. Just you get messages that show up on that line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
So it's 465-9393 for Chris Fredrickson. If you have any questions about numbers on the show that you've missed and you can't remember any of the numbers but mine, please call me at 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. I will respond. If you haven't got a place like a phone number, try to say where you'll be. Look for my car with all the bumper stickers. Come to Baker Square at the Huff meeting. Stand on the street and shout, Robert! Actually, that probably won't work. But do what you can. Leave a message on the Huff line. So,
hopefully we'll be... I just wanted to say one more thing. Hopefully we're in the beginning stages of developing a network of attorneys. Not necessarily locally, although I hope that's coming, because I'm working on a few people. And I know a lot of the people that litigated these things 10 years ago are very burned out, are available for my questions, but not for much else. But thank God they're available for that. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without them. But I'm really wishing, hoping, and praying, meditating on some younger attorneys to be coming out of the woodwork that will want to put some time in on these things. The summit, Robert, your input, a great deal. This show, a lot of this has helped me to see that there are other attorneys in Portland, Seattle, Santa Barbara, people who are willing to talk about this stuff, and that it makes it very, very helpful for me that you know, to have a feeling that I'm not alone with these things, and that we can trade stories and hopefully come up with some better tactics. I mean, we have some good opinions. We have some good compassionate opinions. Not this one, not ours locally, but in some other cities. And they are being threatened, and we all need to band together. So I'm hopeful today.
Yeah, I think that we have more resources than we thought we did. But again, a lot of this does depend on your willingness to stand up and fight these battles, and that's some personal choice, because it does involve time, it does involve energy, and it may involve risk, although ironically, you may be risking less by fighting than by not fighting, because sometimes you get more respect by fighting, and they kind of steer clear of you, hence though it may look like the cops pick on me, they actually pick on me less in some respects. I mean, I get arrested, but only where I stand firm and don't move and know it's going to happen, and it just does, like at the city council when I was arrested for the Heil Krohn incident, or at the on January 30th on the sidewalk for petitioning on the on the sidewalk and having Sergeant Baker and Matisse Selman take me to court for that. Actually, you're going to be my one defense attorney in that case.
Yes, I am.
So that should be happening in a week or two. We'll be giving you more information about that. I'm going to rush ahead right now because we have two things coming up Tuesday and Wednesday that I will not be able to talk about on the next show. Chris, don't leave unless you want to. You're welcome to hang out and stay with us. Gather your... there's a... I mentioned in the...
Can I have that?
Yeah.
I don't have that.
You can have that.
Thank you.
We're giving away literature here. I mentioned in the last show that Title 14, the revision of the Portland Criminal Code to the detriment of homeless people and a lot of other people, is coming up. It's coming up on Wednesday at a big hearing on May 29th. And the folks up there need you, those of you who have emails and are willing to send a letter, to help them out. And hopefully, I think activist Becky Johnson is sending out a letter on the Huff line so that people can do this. But these changes involve offensive physical contact prohibited. Let's see what we've got here. Alcohol on public property, it's going to be illegal to even have a closed bottle of alcohol with you in a public park. Camping, they are trying to reinstitute the camping law in Portland, Oregon. And I'm kind of looking over the... got a lot of stuff on this that's written that it's hard to get. Urination or defecation, unless we have adequate numbers of bathroom facilities in the city of Portland, ditto in Santa Cruz, accessible to all people at all hours, the section criminalizes people for necessary human bodily functions. Misuse of a public restroom until there are places where people can effectively clean up, brush their teeth, maintain their personal hygiene on a regular basis. People should not be criminalized for using public restrooms for these purposes. Misuse of a public drinking fountain. All these are code sections they're attempting to tighten or add to Title 14 in Portland. This section uses up too much of the discretion of individual police officers regarding the use of a drain and a drinking fountain. For example, rinsing out a coffee cup to fill it up with water would become illegal. Authority to restrict access to certain areas. Our concern with this section is the lack of a definition for the phrase terrorist incident. Safekeeping in prison or property. We are concerned with the definition of a reasonable attempt to return someone's property, and it's our experience that oftentimes valuables, like a person's state ID card, are never returned. We would like to see a consistent procedure not make reasonable attempts, but actually return them or be liable for them. If you're a police officer and you've confiscated someone's ID, these are problems they're having up in Portland. If you're on the Huff mailing list, you will be getting an email. Please send out an email to Mayor Katz of Portland, Oregon, telling her, no way, Mayor Katz. No thanks. And actually, the work of activists up there has been phenomenal. They stripped Title 14 of a number of nasty sections already. They're doing much better than we're doing in Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, we see on the front pages of the Sentinel a drive to recriminalize and intensely, more intensely criminalize people here, which we have to stop. And for that purpose, you may, if you wish, come to City Council on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, when you can have the usual anal communications where they give you 3 minutes to speak. Last time, the business boohoos took up the first three speakers and denounced the folks on the streets. Now, of course, they apparently commandeered the front page of the Santa Cruz Sentinel. So we need people to talk about that. You can call City Council at 420-5017 and say, no, we don't need more criminalization. We need situations where we need mediation, we need conflict reconciliation, we need situations where people have public areas to go to that are more open and more accessible. And of course you need legal places for people to sleep. It's pretty obvious stuff. The City Council agenda, which I said I would talk about and actually did give some preliminary discussion to back on Thursday, it's coming up on Tuesday. One item I mentioned is item 13 on the consent agenda, lease agreement for kiosk number 4, Alibaba Cafe. It's a resolution directing the city manager to execute a lease agreement with Gholam Hossein Fata for the premises. I would like to know how much we are paying for this space, how much we are paying for the upkeep of this fence. And I'd like to know how much it would cost to get rid of it, frankly. I know it's considered to be a cause célèbre to keep the River Street sign in place, but I sure as hell, if they stuck that sign in the middle of the freeway and blocked people from driving, or they stuck that sign in the middle of the path and stopped people from walking, it would be a different matter. I wouldn't mind seeing the sign gone anyway, frankly, but that's just my feeling. Anyway, that's item 13, Alibaba's Cafe under new management. I think we need to see this stuff under no management until these people stop privatizing the sidewalk. What I mean to say is boycott Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe until such time as they agree to reopen the public spaces, deal with the problems by having open meetings where people can discuss these concerns, and perhaps evolve a code of conduct as we worked on before. What else is happening at the council meeting? There's an accessory dwelling unit ordinance coming up, which Paul Wagner was so kind to give me an hour and a half to talk about, along with the mobile home problems that the city council seems to be surrendering to the big bosses on. Unfortunately, since I only have 3 minutes left on this show, I'm not going to have time to go into this at any length. So I'm only going to say that this item comes up on the city council agenda at 7 o'clock session. It's the first item on the agenda after oral communications, item 34. It's a code section that allows for the building of accessory dwelling units, as Paul Wagner explained it to me. He's with AHA, Affordable Housing Advocates. It doesn't involve decriminalizing or grandfathering in ADUs yet, but he says it's a two-step process. This is the first step. I'm skeptical. I believe this guy has got a real good heart, but gives all too much credibility to people like Scott Kennedy and Mark Premack, but that's my view. So at least those two items on the City Council agenda are up. There's also going to be, presumably, an appointment by Scott Kennedy to the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, that is the Police Review Board. Emily Riley tried to make an appointment last time, but Kennedy said, oh, please don't, I want to do my own appointment, because Kennedy had delayed for 3 months. So she said, okay, make your appointment. If he doesn't do it this time, well, the board is pretty useless, as we've talked about before, but there is a new chair, Mark Halfmoon, who is trying to make some changes. It would be nice for him to have at least a fourth vote on that board, or at least somebody, so there aren't these tie votes, if he actually can try to make some changes, which, frankly, I doubt is possible, unless they start holding real public hearings, and unless independent organizations start showing up to actually deal with police abuse. That's pretty much it for Bathrobes Pierce Broadsides, the Sunday edition. It's a busy week coming up. We have this big hate campaign against the homeless and folks downtown being launched by the merchants and the Santa Cruz Sentinel. We have to fight back. We have to fight back peacefully and strongly in numbers. We have basic civil rights. We are entitled to be in public spaces. We have to use those rights. We have to also respect the rights of others. I want to thank you for being with me. Tune in again on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Come to the City Council meeting at 7 if you want to speak at oral communications, or in the afternoon. You may find me there as well. And you can also check me out at Baker Square at 8:30 in the morning, 1107 Ocean, where I'll be doing a Huff meeting. I want to thank Chris Fredrickson, our fine attorney at large, for giving us the update on the necessity defense. I'm going to ask you to come back at the next show if she can, or the show after that, to talk about the Camp Paradise case and how to burn Commissioner Irwin Joseph in effigy in the public place in front of the courthouse. That will be, of course, right before the disbarment proceedings of attorney Chris Fredrickson. Chris, you want to say goodbye to your fans out there? She's waving. Alrighty. We're going to go out on the music of Mark Levy from the Right to Sleep Summit. Right to Sleepers will be walking through Santa Cruz within a few weeks. We'll try to round you up to get out there. And if anybody wants to work on real protests here in Santa Cruz, you just have to call 423-HUFF, and you'll find us huffing and puffing.
Sleep out at the clock tower tonight!
I just heard that announced. Did I swear a moment, or was that part of the plan? fixing this in here.
Remember, we got
that was about 5 or 6 years. Well, it was probably longer ago than that. They decided to pass a law, or enforce a law, or, you know, redo a law that said it was illegal to sit on the Pacific Garden Mall in Santa Cruz here. A lot of you know where that is. And I remember talking to Scott Kennedy about it and saying, you know, if you do this, there's going to be people coming from all over the country just to sit down to test this law, the constitutionality of this law. And that's exactly what happened. People came to this from all over the country just to sit down and get arrested in Santa Cruz. And it had an impact, right? They did change the law a little bit. They're still doing all kinds of stuff down there, though.
Fantasy Isle, American dream, affluent style. 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Robert Norris is stepping out of the station now. And for the next hour and a half, we'll be hearing, I'm not quite sure yet, music, most likely. And at 3 o'clock, just wanted to let you know, cut your hair and get a fucking job, my show is coming up. Between 3 and 6, the topic today, Palestine and Israel. I'm going to be interviewing Richard Becker, who just returned from Palestine on Friday. I'm also going to be interviewing, well, that interview will be at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, I'll be interviewing a woman named Kate Raphael, a Jewish woman who just returned in April from Bethlehem. And then at 4:30, I'll be interviewing a man named Paul, who just also returned in April from Nablus. And we'll be hearing about what they saw and heard there. Paul lived in the Middle East for 13 years, so I might also be hearing some historical stuff, I'm sure. And that's the show for today at 3 o'clock. And I, of course, welcome calls when the phone line is open, because these will be phone interviews, so during the interview, unfortunately, you will not be able to call in. But certainly I welcome your comments after the interviews at 427-3772, but that's an hour and a half from now. Right now, we're going to be hearing some music for a little while. Started off with some Afro-Cuban tunes from a Rough Guide collection of Afro-Cuban music. You're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Let me down, waro, waro, na.